I'm Fudo Shinzawa, in for Chris Gasper. It's Wednesday, December 20th, and this is Season Ticket. Today, we're one-on-one with Cam Neely, president of the Boston Bruins. We'll ask him about his strategy for this young team and what he wants to do to see them improve. Well, Cam, here you are. You're fast approaching the halfway point of the season. You've been through some ups, some downs. What is your view from 30,000 feet of the season so far?
Well, kind of as expected, other than the injuries at the start of the year. I mean, I'm proud of the fact that we were able to kind of hold our head above water with all those injuries. Probably accelerated the development process for some of our younger players, playing a little bit more than we anticipated. But it's so far seems to be paying off. I mean, there's going to be some ups and downs with younger players in the league as far as consistency goes, and we've seen that. But, you know, you take a look at a game last night, for example, where you see what they can do and you hope it just comes on a regular basis.
So right off the hop, you don't have Patrice Bergeron, you don't have David Backes, and then the hits keep on coming. These are significant players, from your goalie to Marchand's out, Krejci's out. What is it like as you guys are watching this unfold in terms of those early injuries, saying, oh man, what is happening here?
Well, it's certainly a little frustrating, because when you kind of go through the off season and you look at your lineup and what your potential lineup may look like coming out of camp, depending on what happens in camp as far as guys impressing or maybe not impressing the way you expected them to, and then going into the season without the lineup you anticipated, you know, gives you a little bit of anxiety, because it's points are at such a premium, and you know, you want to get off to a strong start in the league. And you know, we did have some concerns where we're going to be, but you know, we found other guys stepping up for us, and like I said, we kept our head above water. But there was a lot of anxious moments, you know, seeing guys continue to go down.
What is it like from your perspective? Plan A is dashed, plan B and C kind of go sideways too. Like, how does that develop for you guys as management, coaching staff, when you see all these players go down? How does that just trickle down into the lineup?
Well, eventually I just, you know, I mentioned to Don at one point, I said, listen, this is, you know, this isn't what we expected, but let's try to make the most of it. And, you know, maybe we take the time to really start teaching a little bit more with, because we had a much younger lineup than we anticipated. So really focus on you know, teaching the finer details of the game when we could during practices, and not really focus on what our record may be with this lineup because of the injuries, but see how we can maybe help these guys develop at the NHL level. You know, some of them we anticipated playing in Providence and developing down there. I said, you know, let's just try and look at some positives here and how we can get these guys to maybe understand what it takes to play at the NHL level while they're playing at the NHL level.
Yeah. So can you explain that from just a general point of view? This is not normal to have so many young players in the lineup at the same time, but why, from an organizational perspective, is this the route that you decide to go, incorporating all these young players?
Well, some is injury-driven, and some we felt guys were ready to push for a job, and some of it's cap-related, where you identify your core players, you know you're going to end up paying them, and then you're going to need some entry-level guys coming in that hopefully can play and you know, round out not only the lineup, but your cap situation, so you can manage it as best as possible throughout the course of the year. So those are really the factors in why we ended up having more younger players than probably we anticipated, but mainly was due to the injuries at the start of the year.
But old days without the cap, this probably doesn't happen, where you need those entry-level salaries to offset your big money guys.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, you know, you look at even before when the cap was instituted, some teams were, you know, spending $70, $80 million. So, you know, the cap obviously gives it a league-wide balance, but if you don't have it there, you know, if you have the money, you can spend it.
Yeah. So you've gained some traction. Guys are getting back. You're a healthier group. But when the injuries were really bad and they were coming at a bad time, you were not above the 8 cutoff spot. Like, what was your anxiety level? Did you ever come close to making a move, just a Band-Aid solution here?
Never really came close. I mean, we tried to stay as patient as we could. You know, I think where we were in the standings and the games in hand, I think, you know, we looked at that and said, okay, let's just see where we're at when and if we do get healthy and where we're at if, once we finally catch up in games played. But we didn't really want to look at maybe moving some players that we felt were going to help us, maybe not necessarily this year, but we felt they were close for a Band-Aid. We didn't really think that was something that we should stray away from.
Yeah. With the injuries then, I imagine that the fact that you're among the playoff contenders now speaks to the coaching. This is Bruce Cassidy's first full season. How would you assess the job that he's done and his staff have done?
Well, I think they've done a great job so far, juggling the lineup day to day without really knowing who's going to be in. Sometimes you don't know until game time or after warm-up. So, you know, to be able to manage that is a lot in itself. And then to try and get your team prepared to win hockey games, especially with a younger lineup.
How do you think it will pay off for these players down the road, maybe once you get into the grind of the February, March, perhaps if you make the playoffs, the fact that they've had to accelerate their learning, where does that set them up for future months or...
Our hopes are that these players have, developed a little bit quicker because of the fact they've been, you know, thrown into the fire a little bit.
Yeah. And you have all these young players, and then you have your captain who doesn't look like he's playing at a 40-year-old's level. What would you – this is Zdeno's last year. How would you assess his play so far, and what are your plans going forward with him?
Well, we certainly, we'd like to re-sign Z. He's my opinion, still one of the top defenders in the game. I mean, he's very difficult to play against, and he plays a lot of hard minutes, PK, shutdown, and still does it very effectively. I mean, there's moments where, the schedule gets to him too. So, but he's someone that I feel has played well for us this year, and I think he's helped a lot of the younger D too.
You've seen
and vice
him.
Versa.
Sure, and you've seen him. He's been in the league a long time, and it was a totally different league when he came in. How have you seen him adapt to where the game is now, where it's never been faster, the Ds can't do much to hold these guys back? How have you seen the evolution of Zdeno?
You know, he's getting older, but he's doing what he can to try and keep up with the pace of play, but also he's using his positional play and his knowledge to his advantage, playing so many games, he knows where he should be as opposed to chasing it.
Yeah, and that must be, you mentioned before, the learning that he's able to impart upon these young players. The defenseman is such a hard position to play now.
Right.
That positioning, stick, skating, have you seen him impart that upon the Carlos, the Charlies?
Well, I see him. He's always talking to them. You probably see it, too, during the course of a game, TV timeouts or on the bench. You see it in practice where, you know, he's always talking to his fellow defensemen. You know, a guy like that with that experience and knowledge, I mean, the McAvoys, the Carlos, the Grizzlicks, even the Krugs, certainly can learn from.
Yeah. So how much has that position changed then, where you used to see more of the McQuaid, the Miller, and Zdeno style versus now, where it's just so much faster,
right,
and the puck retrieval is so critical? Like, how has that changed as you've been watching and consuming the game?
Well, to your point earlier, forwards can't really hold up the forecheckers, so they're coming in pretty quick. So if the puck gets behind you, the D's got to make that turn and get after the puck pretty much faster than you had to in the past. And, those D, got to get on it quick. You got to identify, if the puck's getting chipped behind you, how to turn and get to it. Because if you don't, you see the opposing team really create some zone time there, and then you're defending. So you see probably better skaters on the back end than you have in a long time, ever, really.
And skating and thinking then, that's just, if you can't see the game, skate the game, think
right.
the game, then it seems like you're in trouble if you're a defenseman.
Yeah, it's true, and you could be the best skater in the world, but if you don't think the game well, it's not going to help you.
Yeah. Okay, we'll continue our conversation with Bruins president Cam Neely. I'll ask him what moves he's considering and where he thinks the team needs to get better. Welcome back. If you want to be the first to hear Season Ticket, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Back now with Cam Neely. So you've talked about the improvement in the team from the start, the young players coming in. Where do you see room for improvement?
Well, I think consistency is always, the top of the list is being a consistent team and giving yourself a chance to win on a regular basis. I think our starts could be a little bit better for the most part. We've find a way to hang in there and maybe play well, end up with a loss, but some of the starts aren't quite what we'd like. So I think improvement there. And our power play has struggled a little bit lately. The second unit came up big for us last night, but hopefully we can get that first unit going again and not thinking too much out there and just making the plays.
Mm-hmm. The personnel is there on that first power play.
Yeah.
You're happy with the talent level and the skill. It's just, where do you see things maybe perhaps misfiring at this point?
Well, sometimes I think a little stubborn on the entries where not really reading how the other team's killing on our entries and not getting the puck in and going after it, trying to carry it in, I think, and then getting stuffed at the blue line and, having to circle back. And, so that kills off time. So I think, the first unit, when it gets in and gets set up, we're going to get some opportunities. But for the most part, the last little while, we've been struggling with that unit of getting in and getting set up.
And then the starts. It sounds so easy. You want to start well and get off to a good start, but easier said than done. Like, why? What do you think is the tough part sometimes, that some nights it's there, some nights it isn't?
I wish I knew the answer, Fluto. I mean, it's really tough to say. I think hockey's, NHL's 100 years old, so it's probably 100 years where people saying, I wish we started better all the time.
For personnel, you still have a few months before the trade deadline, and who knows, maybe some of these young players emerge where you don't have to make a move, but do you see areas where you think, well, maybe we should be looking outside for assistance?
We're always looking at the club and seeing where we could upgrade, and I think we could probably find some depth on the right side up front, and maybe on the left D side.
You've been looking at that left side D for such a long time.
We have.
What does that makeup like? Because it's kind of an interesting group in terms of you have the biggest guy in the league,
right,
and then not so big after that with Grzelcyk and Torrey.
Well, it's, we've talked about if we could ever find a guy that can eat up some minutes, move the puck well, skate well, but not necessarily have to be that offensive defenseman.
It's strange because you don't see a surplus of right side Ds in the league, but yet here you guys are with a lot of bodies. Ideally, you wouldn't want somebody, Kevin, playing the left side?
Well, we've tried that, and it's just we found that he's better on the right side, and you can see he's more comfortable on the right side. It's a challenge at times, picking the puck off your backhand and then getting it to your forehand to make the play.
And you mentioned right wing. We've all seen how good that first line can be when Pastrnak is there. Can you explain just some of the thinking there, perhaps the pluses and minuses? You have a very good 200-foot line, but perhaps top-heavy when David goes up there with Brad and Patrice?
Well, yeah, I mean, but we know that it's going to be a very responsible line. Patrice, he just covers up a lot of things out there. And when you have a couple guys like, Brad, he's strong defensively, but, Brad and David, are willing to take some chances, and Patrice is there to read off that and sometimes cover up some mistakes, which a player like that has done his whole career. We feel David Krejci should be a driver of the bus.
Yeah, perhaps a little bit frustrating then for him, for David personally, just because it's been kind of stop and start with his health this year, which.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, it's frustrating for us, because when he's in the lineup, other teams have to take notice of not only Bergeron's line, but then also what's Krejci going to do. So, you know, someone that was relatively healthy all last year has had a tough go of it this year. So hopefully, you know, once he gets past this, it's behind him and he can stay healthy.
Okay. When it comes to finally the personnel and possibly upgrades, do you feel as if you're in a position to be using your prospect capital, your pick capital, for some more NHL-ready players at this point?
Yeah, I believe we are, Fluto. I mean, it's really probably first time in a while where we've got a number of prospects and some capital that we could maybe use to acquire somebody that we want, not just short term, but hopefully if we acquire someone that's, you know, it's gonna be for a period of time. I mean, it's nice to have the development. Or it's nice to see what we've gotten development with some of these players, and there's certainly teams that are inquiring about them.
Yeah, why do you think this was a deficiency for you guys as an organization in terms of your picks and stockpiling good young players? And it certainly seems like we're seeing the first wave of these players starting to arrive. What do you credit the improvement in terms of the scouting and the drafting so far?
Well, I just think the emphasis on really understanding the players. I think, you know, we've made a conscious effort to really dig deeper and understanding, you know, who the players are and what drives them.
You're looking at the business side, which you're also incorporated in. There's so much activity here around the garden. Can you explain what some of the improvements are and what people around who come to the games might see in the future?
Well, with the development out front, we're actually bumping out 30 feet out into the length of the building from the first floor all the way up to the ninth floor. So you'll see, you know, expanded concourse. You'll see some more premium services. We're looking at the event level, maybe thinking of doing something different on the event level because of that. You know, we're able to bump out. So there's a lot of discussions going on with how we can continue to improve the fan experience. We're talking about a new scoreboard right now, so that's something we're looking at. You know, that'll be coming in the near future. So the amenities are constantly changing, so you want to stay up with that.
There's so many options for entertainment now.
Right.
That is there. Have you seen a shift in how people are watching, are enjoying the whole experience of a Bruins game?
Well, we look at it from, you know, the moment they leave their house to come to the building until they get back home. That's how we look at our game day for our fan. Is you know, how do we continue to get them information on the team throughout the course of the day? Our broadcast partners, if it's Nesson or the Sports Hub, talking about the game as they you know are coming into the building. So there's all these things that we talk about as a group here to, you know, to continue to touch our fan base on a regular basis.
Even at home, you see the people, we all read about the cord cutting and
right.
and how people are watching the games differently. Like, how do you keep up with the times in terms of trying to stay relevant and in front of as many people as possible?
We employ a lot of young people that understand what's going on with the social media and, you know, all kidding aside, you know, with the various ways that you can consume, whether it's live action or keep getting, you know, keeping up with what's going on, you know, we definitely have to be on top of that. Whether it's you know, video clips or vignettes that our fans want to see, whether it's, you know, them being able to watch the game on their phone or iPad or computer. We see, you know, more and more, like you look at when we have a TV timeout and the lights are maybe down a little bit, everybody's looking down at their phone. And you see, that's the lighting you see in the building. So that's where we're at.
Finally, you mentioned this is a good point in terms of the technology, the way people are watching the games, and then you fold in the other, I don't know if you want to consider them competitors in terms of the Patriots and Celtics and Red Sox, but I think the Patriots' interest is at an all-time high. The Celtics are up and coming. How do you incorporate what you are trying to sell to your fans in the context of the other sports teams?
Well, even though, you know, there's some crossover with probably all the teams, some more than others, as far as our fan base goes, and you know, at the end of the day, the product on the field, the court, the ice really drives the bus. So other team success, I think, pushes everybody else. You don't want to be falling behind when teams are doing well in this market. I mean, to your point, there's so many other opportunities for your entertainment dollar. We know we have a really strong core fan base, but we still want to continue to grow our game, grow our fan base, and the main way to do that is to put a product on the ice that people like to come and watch, and hopefully we're winning more than losing.
Thanks very much for the time, Cam.
Yeah, no, my pleasure, Flew.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. I'm Fluto Shinzawa, in for Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.